And we do want to continue to focus on Iraq. As we do on Fridays, we're going to get you caught up on the week in Iraq. Iraqi forces are bracing for possible violence in the city of Karbala ahead of the religious festival there next week. Tanks, aircraft, and 40,000 police and soldiers are being deployed to the city in anticipation of Arba'in ceremonies, marking the 40 days after Ashura, the holiest day on the Shiite calendar. Last year, 149 Shiites were killed on their way to the festival. And on the political front, a law that could clear the way for investment in Iraq's oil field is deadlocked in Parliament. Leaders can't agree on who will control the field and how revenue will be shared. The law has been debated for over a year.
And the story we're going to go dive into today, a story that involves withheld documents, suicide, the former Prime Minister of the UK, and of course the war in Iraq. After Freedom of Information inquiries, a document created in 2002 about Iraq's alleged weapons of mass destruction was released this week.
It was recreated by former British Foreign Press Officer John Williams, and it bears a striking resemblance to his government's justification for going to war and contains some information that may prove a bit embarrassing to the British government. The British press has been calling it the case of the dodgy dossier. Here to help us sort out some of the facts is Michael Evans, defense editor for the Times of London. Hi, Michael. Thanks for being with us.
Hi there.
So John Williams, he created this document, but he's been portrayed as sort of a freelancer, this job that's done on the side by an overzealous member of the administration. He apparently turned this in on September 9th, 2002. Now, the actual document from the government outlining the UK's justification for going to war was produced later that week. Now, the connection between the two in the past has been denied. You have seen both documents. What do you think? Are they similar?
Well, they are. If you look very carefully, particularly at the main points that they make, particularly there's a sort of long list of what is seen as the main threats posed by Saddam Hussein at that stage. And the long list, which is provided by the John Williams dossier and also provided by the government dossier that was eventually produced, bear a lot of similarities. You could argue, well, that's perhaps not surprising because they're based on the same sort of suppositions, the same sort of UN evidence, the same sort of intelligence that was available at the time. So maybe it's not that surprising. But I think what is rather unusual is that ever since the John Williams document was known about, the government has basically said that thank you very much for the document. It wasn't asked for. It was just produced off the cuff, and it was put to one side and played no further part in the formulation of the eventual dossier that was produced later in September of 2002.
Now, as well as the similarities, there's this big glaring difference that's almost as significant, the claims of Iraq's ability to strike in a certain amount of time. Tell us about that difference.
Well, the key issue of the whole dossier, I think, when it first came out, was this focus on the so-called 45 minutes issue. In other words, it was stated in the official government document that the Iraqis were in a position to launch some form of weapons of mass destruction. I think it was made clear later that they were referring to artillery and small rockets, not to anything more grand than that, but that they could do that and launch it within 45 minutes of an order being given. Now, that particular phrase was not used in the John Williams dossier. That was only used in the official government dossier. How significant that is, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think the John Williams document was drawn up very quickly. He's a former journalist, by the way, so I guess he has the capability to put together facts pretty quickly in some well-written form, and which is what he did. He said he did it sort of literally over a weekend, and the official document relied on more up-to-date intelligence, and that's where the 45-minute came in.
So why did it take so long for this John Williams document to be released publicly?
The reason is that in this country, we have a system whereby advice given by officials is supposed to be sacrosanct. So, in other words, it's not there to be made public. It's something, if an official gives advice to a minister, then he should feel that whatever advice he gives is not going to suddenly be trumpeted all over the papers the next day. So there is a sort of golden rule, as it were, that anything that officials say should be kept confidential. And the government's position is, they claim, that the reason why the John Williams dossier was not published at the time, nor indeed was it handed over to the official inquiry that looked into all the intelligence behind the Iraq invasion. It wasn't handed over to that inquiry either. The reason why it wasn't was in order just to preserve the sensitivity of the advice given by John Williams. That's their case.
Well, Michael, there is a sidebar story here because the BBC initially reported that spin doctors, their words, had done work on the official dossier to sort of juice it up, make it seem like going to make a better case for going to war in Iraq for the Brits. And one of their sources was a weapons expert named Dr. David Kelly. And once he was exposed as the source, shortly after, he turned up dead. Officials later concluded he had committed suicide, but there have been all kinds of questions remaining around the timing of his death. Is this just a conspiracy theory stuff, or was anything ever really proven?
I think it is conspiracy stuff. I mean, the fact is that the BBC made this claim. It was the subject of a long inquiry by Lord Hutton.
Yes.
And Lord Hutton dismissed the BBC claim that the document had been spiced up by spin doctors. Now, whether you accept that as the fact or not, that is the government, that was Lord Hutton's conclusion, and that has remained the situation ever since. Dr. David Kelly tragically took his own life. There doesn't appear to be any evidence that it was anything other than suicide. The man felt he was a man of tremendous integrity who felt, I think, that his reputation had been undermined, if not destroyed, and it affected the balance of his mind. That is, I think, the sort of assumption. So, there have been lots of conspiracies ever since then, but I think probably that's how they should remain.
Michael Evans is the defense editor for The Times of London. Thanks for sharing your reporting, Michael.
Thank you.